Our study tonight is out of Isaiah 49, 1 through 13, learning from the rejection and future reign of the Messiah. The prophet Isaiah was used of God to predict the details of the life and the ministry of Jesus, the Messiah, to a degree unparalleled by other prophets. And Isaiah 49, 1 to 13 is one such passage. Since how our Lord lived and served sets the pattern for how we, his disciples, are to live and serve the Lord in the church era, according to 1 John 2:6, with John chapter 20, verse 21. We view this passage for our own personal application. I'd like to start with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into this word. Father, we thank you for the privilege that you've given us to meet here tonight. We pray for the needs of those who are in dire straits. Think of Andy with the car accident and so forth. Ask that they'd be encouraged and edified and have their needs met. We ask that we would understand the passage and be able to use it tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'd like to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Isaiah chapter 49, verses 1 through 13. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from afar. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand has he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver has he hid me, and said to me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now, saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be a servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorified in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to whom man despises, to him whom the nation abhors, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise. Princes also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard thee, and in a day of salvation I have helped thee. And I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, and to establish the earth, and to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, Go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all the high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he has mercy on them. He that hath mercy on them, rather, shall lead them. Even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from afar, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Okay, God's servant in this passage, in verses 3, 5, and 6, though he's called Israel, in verse 3, is actually the Messiah. For he's called of God to lead the nation Israel back to the Lord, according to Isaiah 49, verse 5b. Now, the reason Messiah is called Israel in this passage is seen in how he personally fulfills the assignment that the nation had initially been given by God to perform, that of being the light of God's truth to the world. What happens is the nation Israel failed, so the Lord sent his Messiah. Accordingly, the Messiah in Isaiah 49, 1, English Standard Version, addresses the world, reporting that God had called him from the womb, naming him from his mother's womb. And of course, this prophecy was fulfilled back in Luke chapter 1, verses 30 to 33. Remember, the angel Gabriel came to Mary, and he announced that the name of the baby would be Jesus. So he's named from the womb, and the angel named him there. In Isaiah 49, 2, we see the Father had made Messiah, Jesus' mouth, such a sharp sword of critique about the sins of the nation Israel that he would need to hide him like a polished arrow in his quiver to be used at the right instant. This explains why over 70% of the life of Christ, this is between his childhood and age 12, and then from age 12 all the way up to about age 30, it was all hidden in obscurity before he publicly appeared on the national scene at about 30 years of age, according to Luke chapter 3, verse 23. Christ's critiques of the sins of Israel would prove to be so sharp, God had to hide him from public exposure for some time so as not to lead to his rejection and crucifixion by Israel's leaders before the timeline set by God. See, God had a timeline in Daniel 9, 24 to 26 that the Messiah was going to be cut off after the 69th prophetic week. Well, if God had let Jesus out of the bag, so to speak, when he was much younger and he was ministering his word, the crucifixion would have been sped up because his critique of the leaders of Israel was so sharp and the hatred that they would have for him would be so quick that they would have put him to death before the time. So God had to wait until he was about 30 years of age, and it would take about 3.5 years for the leaders of the nation to put him to death. Well, God would let them tell the Messiah that he was God's servant, Israel, in whom he would be glorified. And the Messiah would come to reply due to the nation's rejection of him by saying, "I've labored in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing in vanity. Yet surely my right is with the Lord and my recompense with my God." In other words, the Messiah would overcome the discouragement of being rejected by Israel through trusting God to fulfill his plan that the Messiah would in time rule in the Messianic kingdom. So it's interesting how the Lord Jesus himself had to live by faith. And of course, it was easy for him because he was the Son of God. But nevertheless, from the human perspective, it was discouraging for the nation to reject him and so forth. But he had to learn to leave everything with the Father, and that the Father would reward him in the end. The God who formed the Messiah from the womb to be a servant to bring the nation Israel, that is Jacob, back to him, since the Messiah realized he'd be honored in God's eyes and that God would become his strength. This Lord then speaks in response to Messiah's rejection and faith. What God claims is that it is too small an achievement for the Messiah to be his servant just to bring back Israel as preserved unto himself. But God rather would make the Messiah a light to the nations, that God's salvation might reach to the ends of the earth. And of course, this prediction tells of the worldwide spread of the gospel in the church era. Remember, Jesus had come to earth and he had been rejected by Israel, and he was crucified. Well, after his resurrection, what did he say to his disciples? "Go into Galilee and it'll be told you what to do." He goes to Galilee and then he says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." So that was the plan of God. And this prediction tells of that worldwide spread of the gospel, Matthew 28, 19, and 20. It's the Great Commission where God says, "Go into all the world and make disciples of all men." And we're currently practicing this in our Vacation Bible School. And then in the Great Tribulation period that follows the rapture, Matthew 24, verse 14, it says, "The gospel shall be preached unto every tongue and any tribe throughout the entire world." That would be the gospel of the kingdom. Well, Isaiah 49, verses 7 to 13, then predict the worldwide acclaim that would come to the Messiah at Christ's second coming. To the Messiah, who would have been despised and abhorred by the nation Israel in his first coming, the servant of rulers at his first coming, God promises that in his second coming, kings and princes would do homage to the Messiah because of the exaltation that he would experience at the hand of God, and that would be God the Father. That's in verse 7. "Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to whom man despises, to him whom the nation abhors, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see thee and arise, and princes also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee." And that means he would bless him. Well, at this fitting time, God would answer and help the Messiah, giving him to be a covenant to Israel, fulfilling God's covenant promises to the nation that were initiated all the way back in the days of Abraham. So Messiah's ministry would be a greatly nurturing one in the kingdom, one that would edify those who were once oppressed but who had put their faith in him. See, there are going to be lots of people who have come out of the Great Tribulation period, people who have suffered terribly. And Jesus, when he comes back to earth, is going to minister to these people. And who better to do it than one who has suffered for the sins of the world? He's been there, he's done it, and he's come through it. Well, Messiah's ministry also would be worldwide, according to verse 12, leading to great praise and joy to God, as he will have then comforted his people and had compassion on his afflicted ones. It's in a reoccurring theme in the scriptures that you have suffering before the crown, suffering before the glory. And that's what happens in Christ's life. That also is what happens in the Christian's life. There's suffering before the glory, suffering before the crown. So Messiah would be rejected by Israel in his first coming due to their resistance to his sharp critiques of their sin. But the Messiah would trust God to vindicate and reward him in the end. God would respond to this faith in him, making the Messiah not only Savior of Israel, but of the ends of the earth in the church era and the great tribulation period, only then to cause him to rule saved Israel and the Gentiles in the Messianic kingdom for blessing. So, by way of application, may we who trust in Christ, like him, heed God's will for us, even if we suffer rejection for doing so, trusting God to reward us in the end. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ often suffered, so God's people often today suffer. Well, they have to leave that suffering with the Lord if they're suffering for righteousness' sake. And then God will make our works effective beyond our initial efforts, as he did for Jesus. Remember, Jesus' initial efforts were to reach the nation Israel. When Israel rejected him, God broadened his ministry out to reach the entire world. And God has a work way of doing that to us today. That's why none of our works for him fail. We're doing what he wants us to do. If we run into resistance, God nevertheless works to make our works effective beyond our initial efforts, as he did for Jesus. And in time, God will fully honor and vindicate us for his glory, especially in the coming kingdom. So we're right now in the midst of Vacation Bible School. And often in the times of Vacation Bible School, we run into trials of different kinds, you know, as we did this time. Our crafts director, you know, on the way to Vacation Bible School ran into a car accident. So she was incapacitated. So the rest of the people just closed ranks. But fortunately, we had a planning session before. Jennifer was telling me this ahead of time. And everybody was in on what the crafts would be. So everybody's just picking up the ball and running with it, which is really wonderful. But no matter what we do, and sometimes we suffer, sometimes we even may suffer persecution for righteousness' sake, even in something like VBS. If that's the case, we have to leave it with the Lord, trusting that God will bless us in the end and that he will reward and he will make our ministry effective beyond our wildest dreams. Yesterday, after Vacation Bible School, I was in a grocery store. And I mentioned this to the kids upstairs today when I was there. And all of a sudden, a little boy came up and said, "Hey, hi." I said, "Hi." And I didn't really fully recognize this. "Hey, are you the guy at VBS? You're wearing the same shirt that I saw." And I said, "Yeah, all I've done is changed my pants. I switched out of long pants into shorts, and I was gone to the grocery store." Sister came over and said, "Hey, this is the guy. He was at Vacation Bible School." And of course, I have my little introduction. They know me as Guy. He's the guy. So I was there, and then their mother showed up, and there were several children. And to show how highly motivated these children were, I happened to be in the line when I finished getting my groceries and I was lining up to pay at the cashier, and they came right behind me. And the little boy saw me taking the stuff out and putting them up on the counter, and he asked, "Can I help?" And I said, "Well, thank you, but I think I've got it under control here." But he wanted to help. I mean, he was highly motivated. And I was amazed. All I do in the VBS as I make a cameo appearance, come up there, probably all of a minute and a half in the morning and then at the close. And had no idea that the kids were paying that close attention, but they know. They know everything that's going on. And that's happened before. I've run into children before and say, "Oh, you're the man at VBS. Yep, you've got to be the pastor." And I was reminded in going through this, the works that we do are probably far more effective than what we think. You know, like the impression with these children. I'm exposed to them just for a minute and a half, 2 minutes, 3 minutes each day. Whereas they're with the regular staff, and they know the staff members a lot more. But we never know, and we may never know the effectiveness of what we're doing. We might be leaving an indelible impression on a child that we don't know anything about, and we'll only find out about it in glory. So what we need to do is just remain faithful to the Lord and let Him bless, and let Him reward, no matter what we face.